to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week is our browser-based game special. We're talking about Frog Fractions and Bubsy 3D, Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective.
Yep. Two thematically similar games. We haven't had as thematically a sound an episode since Goat Week. And if you like goats, you will
check
like
out
that
episode.
Week.
Yeah. And if you like browser games that kind of turn the tables on you, you'll like this week.
Yeah, that take very little time to play. So Nick, what is cool about Bubsy 3D, colon, Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective?
Bubsy 3D is, it's styled after the PlayStation game, Bubsy 3D. Which is pretty well renowned to be one of the worst games like ever made.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who will debate that is Ula Lilia.
Yeah, and he's never getting, you know what they say, never get into a debate with Ula Lilia.
But so, you know, it's a 3D platformer with incredibly basic geometry and textures, but it's obvious right off the bat that it is meant to be a joke and is a fun twist on. You know, I'm not sure why they chose Bubsy 3D as the theme, actually.
I think it's just because they could get the domain. Like, and it's such an infamous game. Like, but the original Bubsy 3D is like if me and Nick tried to make Mario 64.
Right.
Like, that's how it plays and looks. And somebody, you know, it's kind of got that cult following because it's so shitty.
Right.
And someone just thought this was funny, and it should be stated that, like, this is very much a joke.
Yes.
Like, in honor of Bubsy's 18th birthday, he's back. And you play this game at bubsy3d.com.
Yeah, that definitely is why they did it. Like, they just got the domain, and they're like, okay, we have to make a game now.
Yeah, and they did good.
So, you're Bubsy. You're jumping around, you're flying around, you're going on fans, you're collecting little balls of things. And you go into an art museum and view some James Turrell pieces.
Yeah, who is an artist? Most famous piece is this kind of continuing crater thing he's built, but he does some kind of fields of light style stuff that's a little bit similar to Dan Flavin, which lends itself really well to being poorly rendered in polygons.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just colored room spaces playing with light, and that's, you know, really easy to represent in a Unity game. So so that's definitely why they chose that. But you know, the clash of Bubsy 3D and James Turrell is sort of the irony they're poking at here.
Yeah, there's a lot of just kind of like art is fun, like kind of non sequiturs that go on.
Yeah.
Like and there's a lot of like all the dialogue is at, you know, no point. It's very funny. And you get these little pro tips from these frogs that are hanging out that just tell you a little bit about art, and Bubsy starts thinking to himself about, you know, what it's like to be in a museum and such.
And then, you know, the museum, as museums are, filled with people who are cheering and standing up and cheering at the pieces.
Yeah, all the cheering. Like, it's just a wall of white light. And they're just, you know, just going nuts.
One of my favorite parts of the art museum is there's, like, one human model that's just, like, copied three times, but smaller each time.
Yeah.
Standing in front of each other, and they're all just staring at the piece.
It's a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, three generations. The kind of the big turn comes. It's not really a spoiler. Like, this game, you know,
it takes like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the whole thing is super quick.
It's hard to spoiler a game that's 10 minutes.
Yeah, is that you get to this part of the museum you're not supposed to be in, and go through, like, what is the portal exactly? Because we, in full disclosure, we recorded this episode and lost it, so we've already done this, but we waited long enough until we forgot most of what we said, so
yeah,
it's been a while since we played this.
It's in one of the big pieces. There's you kind of climb into it and see things you wouldn't normally see from outside of it, and there's a coffin. Yeah,
you get inside the coffin, and then do this amazing, like, just the first couple notes of Don't Fear the Reaper, coffin slalom.
So you're just bobsledding down this track while, yeah, like you said, the first bar of Don't Fear the Reaper repeats over and over again. You know, it, exactly the same way it does at the start of the real song, but never goes beyond those.
Never resolves, and tons of sweet flaming skeletons.
Fantastic skeletons.
Yeah, moving in sync. Yeah, and there's some, you know, stuff that continues past that too, like where eventually you can end up going to this Applebee's. I think that's kind of the official end of the game.
Yeah.
Is you walk into an Applebee's, and instead of walking into it, you just crush all the pieces, and then after under it, it says, like, art is fun, or something like that. Or just yeah. art. I think it just says art in big letters.
Yeah. Applebee's turns into a big 3D art.
Yeah, yeah. It's a total, you know, these kids are just smartasses. You know, like, it's a total, like, you know, smartass thing to do, but it's very funny. And then when you first beat it, you get your first cheat code.
Yes.
Which we're going to talk about those in the spoiler section, because that's the closest thing this game has to that.
Yeah. And since we didn't mention it at the top, it's worth noting that this was put together by a group calling themselves Arcane Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And their slogan is, make the games you wish to see on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't played any of their other games. They have a skating game called Perfect Stride that is very similar in art style to Bubsy 3D that I really want to check out when that comes out, because that looks fabulous.
Yeah, they also did, there's a really fun Dark Souls ambience project.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they load up the ambient sound from different areas of Dark Souls. So, like, you know, they're funsters, but also they have good taste in games.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. Let's talk about Frog Fractions.
Let's talk about Frog Fractions.
What is what's cool about Frog Fractions?
Well, just a little bit of info on it real quick. It was released in 2012 by a developer that calls himself Twin Beard Studios, but it's pretty much just this guy, Jim Crawford. And it is a entertainment game where you are a frog and you are on a lily pad and you lick up bugs and rack up fractions. And it's the best way to learn fractions ever.
Yeah, I mean, fractions are hard and math is hard and generally not fun. So it's really cool to see somebody come along and make a flash game that combines the fun of video games, which I like, with mathematics and fractions, which I generally don't.
Right.
And frogs, which I generally like, and bugs that I generally don't.
Exactly. It's a very nice way to learn your fractions.
Yeah.
And with that, we will go into the spoilers section.
Yeah. So play both these games. But you can play them both. It'll take you 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So do
they're
it.
They're both very short. So a little bit of admin stuff real quick before we jump into our massive spoiler section for these games.
Yep.
Rate and review us on iTunes, and tell your friends about us. Those are by far the best two ways for us to find new people who would also have same tastes as you and would like to listen to our show.
Yeah. Who also like to check it out. Yeah, we can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. And you can find us on Twitter at Comrade Podcast.
Yep.
And you can support the entire Duckfeed Network at patreon.com/duckfeed.tv. Or not, no dot. Fuck. There's explicitly not a dot. It's
Duckfeed, no dot TV.
Yeah, just Duckfeed TV.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a real big help. We just launched that recently, so.
Yeah.
All right. So there'll be a little ditty here for a sec, and we'll be back with more Frog Fractions in Bubsy 3D.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's do it in the same order. We'll talk a little bit about Bubsy 3D cheat codes.
Yeah, the first one you get is ghost mode.
Yes.
Which turns you into a ghost in the game, but also adds chat. So there's a little window that says ghost chat. And the first time I did this, I was like, "Oh, this can't be real." And I put in like "hello," and then someone said, "Like hello, I don't know what's going on." And I was like, "Oh shit, we're ghosting!" And like, was trying to get to engage the dude, but I think that he literally just did not really understand, you know, what was going on. But people should use this, like, I don't know, to trade drug stories or something. Like, this seems like it is a perfect internet hideaway.
It's awesome.
Yeah, this should be the official chat room of something.
Yeah, so you'd never know it the first time you play it, but it turns out the game is actually like a big multiplayer connected thing. Because when you're in ghost mode, you can actually observe other people going through the game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, there's a chat that comes up. I didn't believe it at first either. I had friends from the IRC channel I hang out in come into Bubsy 3D and get into ghost mode and tell me if we could actually chat in there or not. And we could, because there's no one else on when I was playing it originally. So
yeah.
So yeah, it was a cool little discovery that it gives you at the end. But turns out there's actually a whole ton of cheat codes that they've thrown into this.
Yeah.
there's a Twitter, twitter.com/bubsycheatzone that just lists off all the found ones so far. And most of them, like, I think it's fair to say that they're all pretty much of two themes, which is either just changes something basic about the game, like Bubsy's size, or links you to a YouTube video.
Yes. They're sometimes related to what the name of the code is.
Yes.
And in ways that you can tell or not tell. But they're all pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, these guys have good taste in funny YouTubes.
I was streaming my cheat discovery process to my friends, and one of them, I think it was debug network settings or something of that sort. When you type in that one, it links you to a video that is MTV's True Life, I'm a Hacker.
Yeah.
It's like, we're all just like, okay, this is what we're watching now. And we watched all of True Life, I'm a Hacker. There's a couple good ones, though. There's speedrun mode, which just makes everything go really, really, really fast.
Yeah. And there's a real speedrun mode, which actually just puts in a timer. Which makes me, like, I want to look for speedruns of this game. Because the idea of just trying to get through this art retrospective as fast as possible is very funny to me.
I really want you to run it and just do it at the next AGDQ or SGDQ. That'd be
amazing. Like, I do this in Junkyard Dog and just find, you know, some third awful game and be part of that block.
Yeah, just travel to DC and make it happen. That'd be fantastic.
That would be super, super fun. Yeah. There's a bunch of, I feel like there's more of them, too. I went through all of them as well. But they're really just kind of a joke that they're there.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not very much utility nor like discrete jokes that will happen from them. It is just the fact that there are dozens and dozens of cheat codes.
You know? Which I think is a funny joke.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's very funny. This is a hilarious experience that you should do.
Definitely do yourself. So like, we won't go through all the cheat codes because you should do them all and go through them all and have yourself a laugh because they're good.
Yep. And Frog Fractions is one of the most, so we should talk a little bit about just real quickly about the Kickstarter, because I think that the Kickstarter for the second one is so of the spirit of the first one.
Yeah.
And one of the ballsiest things that I've seen done in like a crowdfunding model. And it, what it is that, you know, the Kickstarter got funded, but you do not know when Frog Fractions 2 will come out. Like, Frog Fractions 2 will come out as some browser game or another piece of software that maybe you have already bought. Like, somebody could already own Frog Fractions 2 and not know it. And then once it leaks, that's when the people who support the Kickstarter will know about it. But not until then.
Yeah, once someone discovers what they have in their hands is Frog Fractions 2, that's when they will tell the Kickstarter people, hey, by the way, this is what Frog Fractions 2 is.
Yeah. Because Frog Fractions 1 is a hidden game, like an entirely really, really clever hidden game that reveals itself slowly. Like, I think that the way people find this game is people just like, here, play Frog Fractions. I know it looks dumb, but play Frog Fractions. And then you just like slowly figure out what's wrong and how to dig deeper in a way that's like super satisfying and hilarious.
It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite things anyone's done with like twist on the gaming genre there's ever been. Because it's basically a bunch of small games of different genres thrown into this one game that you have to discover by accident for the most part.
Yeah, by doing something, you know, counterintuitive. You know, doing like running to the left in Mario.
Yeah.
Is what's gonna get you, you know, unlock your Frog Fractions in this, you know, the rest of the game. And the hints are really fun. You know, in that you're just kind of, you know, you're just kind of playing da da do do and starting realizing that things are wrong. Like, oh, I'm looking up these bugs that represent fractions, but they're not adding together or anything. Like, I'm just collecting fractions. That's weird. So, and then, you know, at some point you start looking through the upgrades and some of them are kind of played straight. But then you start, you know, getting looking at the weird ones and like just kind of slowly determining something's wrong. And it's kind of fun because, like, the way that you kind of break the system is to go down, which you wouldn't think to do.
Yeah, you have the movement to move left and right to get your frog under these apples that are dropping and collect them. But you eventually get an upgrade. It's when you get the upgrade that allows you to move left and right instead of just standing in one spot that it tells you you can move left and right, but then you can also move down.
Right.
And when you move down, there's the big pile of the fruit that have been dropping this whole game, and standing next to it, what is it, like about a billion or something like that? Once you
it adds them up, and then eventually it says about a billion. And then, you know, you have enough to buy the dragon, which can go up, and that really unlocks the rest of the game.
Yep, that's the start of your journey.
Yeah, which is kind of like just a genre mash from different genres, and kind of, you know, most of them are not actually games. Some of them are, though. Like, most of it is just something you kind of have to experience and go through. But there's two really notable, like, actual games in there. One that is a straight-up text adventure that totally works and is a, you know, challenging, complete text adventure puzzle. Like, it'd be, like, one part of, like, Gateway or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then a, like, lemonade stand-style...
Porn selling sim.
Yeah, yeah, which is wonderful, like, as the president.
Yeah, as the president of Bug Universe.
Yeah.
Or Bug Planet. So just to quickly run through what all happens, once you start moving up, you get into this kind of shmup, but you can't really, like, die or anything. So you're just kind of traveling through the skies upwards, and eventually you come to Bug Mars, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Where you are interrogated by... the essentially border patrol of Bug Mars, and they're asking you a bunch of questions about citizenship, some of which you can continually answer that your guy is freaking out about being surrounded by bugs.
It's multiple choice where it's similar to Monkey Island, where, like, one of the things that Ron Gilbert talked about, like, when we talked to him, is that, like, the dialogue system of Monkey Island, where everything will move the story forward, but every time there's a dialogue choice, they have the opportunity to tell four different jokes.
Yep.
So it's really dense, and it's exactly that. So, like, yep. In Monkey Island, you know, you can respond to people however you like. Nothing really happens, but you're telling, you know, four separate different funny jokes.
Yeah, my favorite is that the last choice is always just like, oh god, I'm surrounded
by bugs.
Bugs.
And the guy responds to what you're saying. It's not like, you know, the story moves forward, but the guy actually reacts to what you're saying. So he's like, you know, you do got a point. There are a lot of bugs here. You know, it's very funny.
And at the end of that, you get your citizenship, and you're given an ID, which you can sign, which I, by the way, covered completely in the word bugs.
Yeah.
and then, what comes immediately after that? Is that the swimming sim after that?
I think it's the swimming part, which is, like, I like that. It's a little longer than I want it to be.
I thought it was fucking hilarious. Like,
it's
was
very funny. Like, kind of crappy replay value, though.
Oh, yeah, I would want to replay that.
Yeah.
So it's just exploring this underground cavern. Like, bunch of levels. There's nothing really to do there. You're just coming through levels. There's a little bit of stuff to see. But the entire time you're doing it, you're getting this fake story of the history of boxing, which has nothing to do with anything else, but the story itself is really entertaining and just told in the perfect, like, monotone dramatic telling of a history.
Yeah, it with, like, it sounds like French music or something. Yeah. Over it. It's very charming. And goes on forever, which I think is part of the point.
Yeah,
it never ends, though.
And so, then I think after that is the text adventure. You get into a spaceship, and then all the lights go out, and it becomes a text adventure, and you're trying to restore power to the ship, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make your way back to Bug Mars, and how do you become president?
I think you just land and become president. Like, the game stops trying to have any kind of semblance of, you know, logical flow fairly early on.
You become president of Bug Mars, which your job as president is to sit down at your desk and play this porn sim all day, it seems, which is awesome. It has these perfectly emulated voice sounds that happen every start of the day. Mm-hmm. So some woman's voice that is, like, perfectly emulated to sound like an old PC.
And she makes, like, sultry bug puns. Like, to you, because you're a bug, you know, bug president, about your thorax and stuff like that, you know, which is great. And the I don't know if how possible it is to win that, because you're the president, so you can just print money. Like, it's like a sim game where, like, you just have the power to give yourself unlimited resources.
Yeah, you just get the mint to print you some more.
Yeah. Super funny. The game just kind of ends, and when you read the guy, he said like he never really intended for it to take off or be a huge thing. He just brought up the idea, and some friends thought it was funny, and he worked on it. So yeah. You kind of see why it just kind of ends in the middle of nowhere. But I'm looking forward to the second one just being a more expansive. Like, not that I need this to be like a 50-hour quest,
right,
or anything like that. But like, you know, it'll have a little bit more of an arc to it, I think.
Yeah, I want to see. You know, I really liked his sense of humor in this one, and I really want to see what he can do with that, with actually some an audience and some funding behind him.
Yep. And the Kickstarter was really modest too. Like, I think it was like a 30,000. Like, it wasn't even that. Like, it was a really cheap Kickstarter. Yeah. Oh, so actually, it was more than I thought. It was. Yeah, he made 72,000 out of 60,000.
That's so pretty good.
Yeah, it was more than I thought it was going to be. But it is. You know, he's got somebody to play with now.
And it's now, you know, quite obvious to him he has a fan backing. So.
Yep.
And pretty cool.
The $2,000 reward thing was him shaving off one of his beards and encasing it in resin and giving it to you.
No longer being the twin beard.
Yeah. Yep.
I want to know real quick, like, this game reminded me a lot of Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden in a way. In that kind of, it just seemed like he thought it'd be a funny idea and it turned into this huge thing. And then Barkley was the same thing. Like, Seaboyardy, the kind of main brainchild behind it, was just like, I heard the name Barkley Shut Up and Jam, the video game. I've never played it. I thought it'd be hilarious to put the word guided at the end.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Out came a game.
And that's super funny. So.
Yeah, it is. And the game is super, you know, again, it's just people with a really good sense of humor making a game. It gets fans because of that. And then they did the same thing. They made a Kickstarter to do a sequel to it, got a huge number of backers on it, and are now, you know, putting their fantastic sense of humor behind a real product, which is cool.
Yeah, and the thing about, like, I mean, it's a little different than Barkley in that, like, Barkley is a really high-quality game. Like, that game is mechanically, like, airtight, you know?
You could say that.
Like, I don't know, I think that's a really good JRPG.
It's a good game, but it's purposely playing off of bad game tropes.
Yeah, but it actually is, like, effortless to play.
Yeah, you know, it's a game maker game that is styled to look like a terrible RPG maker game, which is fantastic. Like, that's brilliant right off the bat. But then it also has like really cool like Mario RPG timed attacks, and
yeah, like it goes a long way towards making it like an actual fun experience to play,
right,
in a way that like Frog Fractions, that was never the point. Like the Star Fox portion of Frog Fractions is not fun or challenging, it's just funny.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that like they're interestingly similar in one way and then different in another way.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I think that's probably it. We just totally ruined Frog Fractions for you, so hopefully you already knew about it.
Yeah, please tell me you played it before you listen to this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I think that's it. Thanks everybody, and we will see you in a couple weeks with two more games.
Yep. Bye.